In Jesus' name, all the way. All right, open your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 14. And it's a simple message, a simple title, a very, very simple approach. I just want to talk about putting the Holy Spirit in charge. Just doing it. I think it's important to know you can put the Holy Spirit in charge. Part and parcel of anything being told you to do is you knowing you can do it. And so the Holy Spirit is in charge. We should put him in charge, but you need to know you can do it and that I can do it. All right, so John chapter 14, and we'll start at verse 15. I'm going to read a couple of verses and then drop down to the end of the chapter. And verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You with me?
Yeah.
All right. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, I want you to drop down, if you would, to verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, and you can be seated if you so choose. I'm going to remain standing if it's okay with you. But you can be seated. I think it's important for us to start off with some basic questions. See, when somebody's in charge, there are a couple of things we want to know. Number one, who put them in charge? See, people can't just rise up and say, hey, I'm in charge. There has to be a precedent. There has to be a purpose. There has to be a point of origin that legitimately places that person in charge. So we want to find out who, if the Holy Spirit is in charge, who put him in charge? Number two, what is he in charge of? See, because if we're going to cooperate with him and work with him, we need to know what is it he's about. What is his charge? What are his responsibilities? And then thirdly, who is he in charge of? You know, we're all as pastors or ministers or lay people, we're in churches, we know that there are all kinds of what? There are all type of responsibilities and duties and functions and titles. And it's important everybody knows who everybody is. That's the culture of honor, is understanding who people are, right? So we can give them the respect they need and release the gift that they are. Well, the culture of honor works with the Holy Spirit too. We need to know who he is. Recognize who he is. Are you with me? Recognize who he is and get him the honor he deserves so that he can be released as the gift that he is. So if I don't get any further, my main assignment is just to talk about this person, the Holy Spirit, and allow us to lock in on who he is. Well, look here at verse 26. Who is it that put him in charge? Well, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. The Father sent him. The Heavenly Father sent the Comforter to you. So who put the Holy Spirit in charge? The Father put the Holy Spirit in charge. Well, I thought I was supposed to put him in charge. He's in charge whether you put him in charge or not. You just might not know it yet. But he's in charge. Now, when you refuse to accept that, you put yourself in charge. But that's not because he's not in charge. Just you put yourself in charge in your life. Tell your neighbor, I'm tired of being in charge. Have you realized yet what kind of mess you make when you're in charge? Do we need to run down that litany of failure and disaster? Do we need to rehearse? Do we need to rehearse that script? We already know what happens when we're in charge. So the Father loves us so much that He gave us the Comforter to be in charge. He's in charge over us, right? He's in charge of me. Say, the Holy Spirit's in charge of me. I accept His charge. I receive His charge. I submit myself under the Holy Spirit. I'm under you, Holy Spirit. I'm under you, Holy Spirit. You are my leader. Well, what is it He's supposed to be doing? Look back at verse 26, still the same thing. The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now look at this. He shall, well, number one, He's a friend. That word comforter is the word paraclete, paracletus, paracleton. He's a friend. I say he's not just a friend, he's a good friend. Huh? You just call on His name. You know wherever He is, he's not gonna come running because He's already inside. But He's there, He's a friend. And my spiritual father, as he was being trained under Brother Hagin, I was being trained under both of them. And Brother Hagin used to bring out, he said, I love the Amplified here where it talks about the Holy Spirit. Because it says Comforter in the King James. But then in the Amplified, he goes on and says He's Counselor. Yes. Then it says He's a Helper. Yes. He's an Intercessor. Yes. He's a Standby. Yes. He's a Strengthener. Yes. He's an Advocate. Yes. That means no matter where I am, I have all those working for me, yes, all the time. I got a comforter, a friend. I got a counselor. I got a helper. I got an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby. I cannot lose with the stuff I choose. I can't lose with that. No matter where I am, the Holy Spirit is right there. Dad was talking about it yesterday. He's just kind of walking like a friend. Like, hey, man, don't do that. Hey, don't forget what the word says. So we know He's a friend. Number two, He's a teacher. He's a spirit of truth. He's a spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is an important thing. We have so much, I think one of the gentlemen was talking, or Dad was talking about how, what is it? It's we have so much technology, internet, and all this information available to us. I think it causes us to get puffed up because we know so much. We know, but knowledge cannot shake a stick at wisdom. See, for instance, knowledge will say that a tomato is a fruit. But wisdom makes you know you can't put a tomato in a fruit smoothie. See, we walk around somebody, we know so much, but we don't know how to apply what we know. But the Holy Spirit is a teacher. Matter of fact, He's a master teacher. Number three, not only is He a friend, not only is He a teacher, but He is a tutor. You see there where it says He'll bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have told you. So that means whatever Jesus has said to us, from a place of revelation and truth, the Holy Spirit is there to teach us, to remind us, and to help us to walk in and be our friend as we are matriculating our way through life. Now, the Holy Spirit, I believe studying the Bible and the scriptures is like, it's like CSI or it's forensics. It requires that you do some dot connecting and that you dust for prints. Because see criminals, they try to hide their prints because what they do, they don't want to be found out. But the Holy Ghost He puts his prints intentionally on things because he wants us to find what he's been doing and what he's up to. Tell your neighbor, I'm just dusting for prints this morning. I'm just dusting for prints. Looking for my friend, the Holy Ghost. I know he's been around here somewhere. I know he's been doing something in my life. I just need to dust for these prints. I want to find out what has he been up to. So in order to do this, we got to go back into antiquity. All right, open your Bible to Genesis. The Holy Spirit is my friend. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a tutor. God put the Holy Spirit in charge. The Father put the Holy Spirit in charge. He's in charge of me. He's in charge of my education. So I don't let anyone get up in my ear and up in my head space that is bringing me information that's not consistent with the blood or not consistent with the Holy Spirit. Nothing. If you want to talk to me, you better come by the Bible, come by the blood, come by the Holy Spirit. And I don't want people in my life that are going to pull me from God. Come on, now you, don't make me come down these steps. I will come down. Listen, you know when you are at a certain amplitude in the spirit, and then you meet someone, maybe somebody with some green eyes or some kind of, you know, they're probably contacts. Don't be so fazed by it. But you meet someone and you're developing a relationship, and then you notice over time, you know, my relationship is different than it was. Hit the road, Jack. You got to get out of here because nothing is more important than your walk with God. Nothing is more important. I love the Father so much. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. No friendship is worth losing that relationship. Somebody died for me to have this relationship. Someone shed their blood for me to have this relationship. Someone gave up all they had for me to have this relationship. So if you're not going to walk with me and God, get up away from around me. Get up away from around me. Do it with me. Get up away from around me. Get out of here. Get out of here. Genesis chapter 1. We got to dance this tune. This is on the playlist. I was going to leave it out, but the Holy Spirit is not allowing me. All right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Are you there? Verse 1. All right. Bereshith Vaha Elohim Vahetz Ashamayim. I'm sorry. That's the Hebrew. That's my fault. I just switched up. That was the Hebrew. That's my fault. I shouldn't do that to you. You want English? You want Hebrew? You want the English? In the beginning, it's not talking about baseball, not the big inning, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now look, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God. See, I wanted to go back and dust for prints. Where was the first time we see him? So the Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit of beginnings. If you need to begin something, make sure you begin it with the Holy Spirit. If you're beginning a ministry, begin it with the Holy Spirit. You're beginning a marriage, begin it with the Holy Spirit. If you're beginning a comeback or beginning a breakthrough, begin it with the Holy Spirit. He, on his resume, is beginnings. In the beginning was God created the heaven and the earth. Now, watch. Heaven and earth were never intended to be two separate existences. It didn't start that way. Started out, they were the same. One was a mirror of the other. The Bible's full of mirrors. The Old Testament is a mirror to the New Testament. Old Covenant is a mirror to the New Covenant. The book of Genesis literally is a revelation or a reflection of the revelation. It's the same. It's the same. Here's what happened. God created heaven and earth. They were the same. Earth changed. And when earth changed, it caused earth to become different from heaven. See, look at verse 2. And the earth was without form. Well, God just created it. So how was it without form and void? How did it become a dump? God didn't create it a dump. So God created it perfect. But something happened when Lucifer rebelled and got his tail kicked out of heaven and fell to the earth. It threw the earth into a chaotic state. Now, we've been fighting all the time trying to get earth back to its original factory settings. In fact, that's why the Holy Spirit was sent. Look. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. The Holy Spirit, like, okay, let me roll, man. I know we got to bring the earth back. I'm here on the face of the deep, cruising, brooding, waiting for a word from God. As soon as I hear a word, I'm going to bring that word to pass. I wish I had some help. The earth is a dump. God said, I didn't make it that way. So I'm sending the Holy Spirit to wait on my word. And when my word comes, the Holy Spirit will bring to pass exactly what my word says. You may have come here to camp meeting. You may feel like your life is like a dumpster fire. You might feel like your life is just not what it needs to be. All you need to know is the Holy Spirit is brooding over you, waiting for the right word. And when that word, let there be light. Let there be healing. Let there be breakthrough. The Holy Spirit is there to bring it to pass. It's his job. It's his assignment. It's his passion. It's his swagger and his attitude. It's to be up in your life. To get up in your business. So that your life does not remain mediocre and average. But that constantly is rising up to its highest level. All right, so we see there that the Holy Spirit then is here to fix this mirror because earth has fallen out of grace and God wants the earth back in its original factory setting. Now, we're going to find out later on in the end, in the book of Revelation, earth is going to get its makeover. But God remaking earth to its original factory setting, listen to me, is not a balloon payment. The installments that are being made all the time. There's an installment being made this week. This can't mean it was an installment. God doesn't have bills. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying he makes encounters and experiences along the way that cumulatively add up to earth finally getting its full makeover. All right, let's look at... Write this down. God wants heaven on earth in your life. Heaven is supposed to be in your life. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to teach you, to remind you, to get you on track, to get you hot where you need to be so that the things of God are flowing freely in your life. Now, the believer, this is a good statement, must stop living and praying from the earth side. See, heaven and earth, right? All right. One changed, one remained the same. And now what we must cease doing is living our life from the base of the side that changed. See, we're living in the earth, and then we see and feel things, we experience things that are not right. Right? Okay, but then what we do is we turn to the earth side to try to change the earth side. It's not gonna work. So we've now got to focus our attention on the heaven side. Now listen, we're gonna talk about heaven. I wanna show you what heaven looks like. But when we go there, I need you to understand, I'm not giving you heaven, pictures and images of heaven for you to die to go to heaven. We don't die to go to heaven. We live on earth to bring heaven here. We don't have to die to go to heaven. Look at somebody and say, I don't have to die to go to heaven. I live to be in heaven. See, we're living from the wrong presupposition. We're living from the wrong precedent. We are trying to live from the wrong perspective. We're living from the incorrect purview. We are living in earth, and then we are trying to change earth with earth values. We live in the earth, and let's take finances, all right? And so we want to change our finances on the earth. So what do we try to do? We try to get a second job. See, we're trying to change what's happening on earth with earth principles. You know what? You probably can't do it, but it'll take a long time. But if you can ever figure out what's going on in heaven and bring heaven here. But it's going to take the Holy Ghost to do it. You can't do it on your own. Tell somebody, I don't know how to bring heaven here. But the Holy Ghost knows. The Holy Spirit knows. And he's my friend. I never forget one time how valuable it is having a friend. I never forget one time the Lord said, Lord, I didn't introduce my family, nothing. This is my lovely wife, Tracy, my bride of 25 years. Stand up. You look so. I love my wife. Good Lord. And then behind her, my eldest daughter, Rayma, stand up. Bethany, Joelle, Ariana, and then there's David. I've been a busy man. All right, be seated. What was I talking about? I saw her and it threw me off. What was I talking about? What? A friend. So the Lord allowed me, he allowed me to meet Dion. And so we became friends. And when we became friends, I began sharing with him spiritual things. And so I was giving him everything I had, I was giving to him. And he was growing by leaps and bounds spiritually. All right? He was giving me football tickets. See, you can only give what you have. And when you find someone, your friend, you want them to have what you have. I wish I had somebody helping me. And so I had these tickets, and so we went to this football game, and matter of fact, I didn't even have the tickets. He just said, I got tickets for you. Just go to the window, go to this particular window, and I got you taken care of. And so when I got to the stadium, we got there late. I got to the stadium, there's throngs of people trying to get in this stadium. It's down in Cincinnati. Throngs of people. And anxiety tried to come on me because I'm like, okay, man, we're going to get in, and I don't know where to go, what's supposed to happen. I was getting kind of worked up. And but all I could remember was he said, no, I just need you to go to this window. It hit me. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Don't worry about their window. Don't worry about the line there, and you just get to where you're supposed to be. And so that's what we did. We just went straight to the window. And as soon as I gave my name, they said, oh, you're Dion's friend. We got you. And so I thought they were going to give me some tickets and take me into this. But they started walking us, and everybody else that was in was going this way. They took me up a back elevator to a secret escalator. Up on a top level. And we walked down, it's carpet and all these nice amenities. And we walked in, and then they opened the door and said, this is where you're watching the game today. It was a suite, a luxury box. And I walked in, and then there's Jerry Jones and June Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, sitting right there, just them. Wow. Come on in, Reverend Forbes. Y'all don't understand me. Jerry freaking Jones. I'm like, what is going on? And so my wife, we sitting there, and Mr. Jones, he said, can I get you some more chicken, Pastor? Can I get you a drink? Can I get you some Coke? Or you want some fruit? What? This is the owner of my favorite team. My friend made all of that possible. Being friends with the right person made all of that positive dream. It was a dream come true. If my friend Dia can give me access to his world, the Holy Ghost, who is my friend, can give me access to his. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it, the Holy Ghost is my friend. That's wrong, that's wrong. Say it this way. Holy Ghost, you're my friend.
Holy Ghost,
I'm glad we're friends.
Holy Ghost, I'm glad we're friends.
Hallelujah.
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 So see, I need you to understand, no matter what happens in life, there's a flip side to that coin. See, you see, we're always coming from the earth side, but there's a flip side to that coin. You remember the good movie? It was a good movie, Heat. You remember Heat? And you had De Niro, you got Pacino, you know, going up against one another. And Pacino was playing a cop. He said, I am a policeman. You are a criminal. That's my job, taking down criminals like yourself. Robbers, thieves, bank robbers. There may come a time when our paths cross and I will take you down. I'm not gonna like it, but I'll do it. De Niro comes back, there's a flip side to that coin. I may have to take you down. I want you to understand, no matter what else happens in the rest of your life, there's always a flip side to the coin. Doctor may tell you something going on in your body. You know what you need to squeeze off? There's a flip side to that coin. Your financial status says you can't live your dreams, you can't have your dreams. What do you need to squeeze off? Flip side to that coin. See, if it doesn't have a flip side, it's not a coin. Every coin has another side. And we just been flipping on the wrong side, but there's a flip side to the coin. And the Holy Spirit's job is to stretch you and push you into the express lane of God's blessing, so that heaven is finally manifesting on earth. Okay. I'm sorry. Be seated. All right. What did Jesus say? I'm gonna shortcut a lot of this because we got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. Look. Heaven, earth. I think Deuteronomy, 11:21 says days of heaven on the earth, right? And then in Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus was teaching them how to pray. And what did he say? He says, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. So now we're told to pray specifically. Whatever's going on in heaven, let that happen here in the earth. We are instructed by Jesus directly. It's not a misquote. It cannot be misconstrued. It is not misunderstood. Jesus said, you pray, Father, what's in heaven, I want it down here. That's why there's a flip side to the coin. That's why there always is a way out. That's why you are never done, even when it looks like you're done. Look at the person next to you and say, there's a flip side to that coin. So now what we need to do in these last minutes is take some time and let's tour heaven. What does heaven look like? I'm not talking about seeing what heaven looks like because I can't wait to get there. No, I'm talking about looking at what heaven looks like so I can get a good picture of what I'm supposed to be importing back here into the States. Oh, heaven about to move in your neighborhood, I'm telling you right now. Heaven is on its way to your house right now. Out of this camp meeting, many heavenly experiences are being birthed right now. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, say, heaven waiting for me when I get home. I've been away all week. That's a whole week for God to set up heaven at my house. Say heaven three times. Turn to John 14. We're supposed to pray for heaven to be on earth. We're supposed to be praying for heaven to come to earth. What does heaven look like? How will we know we're being successful? How will we know we're importing the right goods? John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house, are many mansions. You know, I don't have time to really break everything down, but in studying and preparing for this, that word mansions is the Greek word money. It's M-O-N-E, Monet.
Wow. Yes, sir.
I'm going to give me some Monet. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know, Dr. Forbes. What if that's not true? Maybe it's just some type of contextual eisegesis or some type of theological exegesis or some type of hermeneutic that we have missed. Maybe what? Nope, Jesus fixed it. If it were not so, I would have told you. If it wasn't the case, I would have told you it wasn't the case. Now, somebody means business when they tell you something and then they follow it up with, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. So now we know in heaven are many mansions. Not only are there many mansions, but I'm going to prepare one for you. Some of us are better at importing heaven than others. But we all got to improve our game. Dad, look, all Apostle Thompson has done has bring heaven to earth. The way this church is built, the way his house is situated, the way his family is structured, the way all this is going on is nothing but an expression of heaven on earth. I asked my wife, we walked out of the house the other day. It was so bright. But it was brighter there than anywhere else on the street. And she said, why is it so bright out here? I said, it's this driveway and this walkway. It was glistening. It was shining and it was reflecting the sun back. It's just like heaven. in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare one for you. Because where I am, I want you to be the same place. That's what Jesus said. All right. Be seated. I was reading and studying. I just got real interested in heaven. Dad had been teaching on open heaven, so I was reading up on heaven and studying heaven, and information kept coming to me. And I came across some materials, and I started hearing from people and learning from people who've been to heaven. So some people have been to heaven, and then they came back. But I started seeing they all were saying the same thing. It's light. It's love. It's so much love that you can't even imagine it. And that's why sometimes when people, none of the people that went wanted to come back. They wanted to always stay. And then one lady was saying, she says, when you first get to heaven, the first thing that happens is all of your loved ones that are there in heaven, see, they get a notice. I don't know if it's some kind of divine text or what, but they get a notice that you're coming. And so they all gather around, they run with their friends because they want to be there to greet you. And so when you get there, there they are. They're celebrating your arrival. And then she said the next thing that your throng of friends and relatives that really love you, they're walking you to your house. They said, we got to get you your house. Because see, they're excited because they've been working on your house. You don't think a mansion can be built in like a day. So your loved ones and family members that know you and love you are working on your estate right now. And so as they bustle you along and they run you along and you get to the house, that house then is filled with all the things and people you love. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna show you something in a minute. And so you see all this beautiful, wonderful, and then they say, he's at the door. He's there. He came to see you. They open the door, and then the Lord Jesus himself walks in and says, I came personally. I wanted to come in and see that, make sure you're happy with your surroundings. I think this is great. Are you happy? And after the Lord Jesus is there with you for a few moments like a few years, you know, in our time, but he's there with, then he says, we got one more stop. He says, somebody I want you to meet. You got to come with me. He said, where are we going, Lord Jesus? He said, we got to go see the Father. I need you to come see the Father. So then they take you to see the Father, and there's this throne. And he's high and lifted up. And then he embraces you. And then at that moment, you first get the first inkling of how much all of this cost him, that he sent his son for his blood to redeem you so that you can enjoy this moment that you're in right now. So then you get on back to your place for a second look. And it's all the things you love. See, God loves us so much that he wants us to spend eternity enjoying the things that we love at his expense. He has set up an eternity for your eternity to be filled with the things that are precious to you because you are precious to him. And eternity. See, I know you thought we're just going to be on our hands and knees and just like righteous Muslims. You know, we say, but we just for eternity. No. Earth, God, help me. I got to close. Earth is a reflection of heaven. So it's life just like it's right here, except it's without sin, it's without death, it's without sickness, it is without pain. But their buildings, their houses. All right, turn to Revelation 21. Turn to Revelation 21. Let's peek a little further into heaven. Not so we can die. die and go there, but so we know what we're supposed to be bringing here. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to start importing heaven, there are going to be some people that's going to hate you. That's why some people hate Apostle Thompson. No problem. When you got glistening sidewalks and driveways outside your house, go ahead on and hate. And I'm going to tell you this, he's not by himself. There's a group of people in this room that are with him. We belong to him. We got his back. We got his six. We got his six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got his back. We got his back by standing up for what he teaches. We got his back by manifesting it ourselves to demonstrate it's not just in his life it's happening, but everybody that connects to him is walking in that same revelation. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm importing heaven.
I'm importing heaven,
I'm importing heaven right now.
Heaven.
Revelation 21. We're going to have to go, take a quick tour. But why are these revelations here? Why are these pictures of heaven in the Bible? Why did Jesus say in John 1:51, from now on, you're going to see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man? Same ladder that Jacob saw. Why in the world does the Bible in the Old and New Testament give us a picture of a ladder from earth to heaven and angels climbing up and down? Do you think they're on a Stairmaster trying to strengthen their quads? Why do you think these angels are climbing up and down? Maybe it's the escalator. Maybe it's the elevator. I don't know. But why are angels up and down, up and down? What are they doing? They are busy bringing heaven to earth. Doggone it, Jesus, his ministry was so replete with angels, you and I are just falling short. I know we know what Matthew 18, we have a guardian angel, but listen. Jesus said when Peter cut off Malchus' servant's ear, remember he cut his ear off? By the way, you know, look, he wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He was trying to cut his head off. He was trying to cut his head off, and the man jerked his head, and he nipped his ear. And then Jesus, in the fastest miracle ever, he just picked it up and put it back on. He didn't say, go and sin no more. Thy faith has saved thee. Nothing. He just stuck it back on. Fastest miracle ever in the Bible. That's what you call drive-through service. So, listen. So, Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword. He said, it's not the time for that. He said, don't you know I can call down more than 12 legions of angels? I did the math. A legion is over 6,800. So when you multiply it all the way out, Jesus said, don't you know I can call over 81,000 battle-ready angels right here, right now? What? Hold on. That's how Jesus rolled. 81,000 angels he could call at the drop of a hat. If he wanted to. You and I ought to at least have a tenth of that. Come on, walk it out and say, don't you know I could call down 8,000 angels right now if I needed to? Are you sure you want to pick a fight with me? You sure you want to mess with me? Are you sure you want to mess with me? I got 8,000 angels. Battle ready. I'm talking about angels bouncing on their toes, like ready to go. How are we gonna go back and be the same? We got the Holy Ghost is in charge. Angels are on the job. The blood is working. Believers are believing. The blessing is turned fully on. It's about to be ignorant off the hook up in your house when you get back. It's about to be crazy. We about to beat the brakes off the devil. Revelation 21. Glory to God. Somebody say, I can see it. I see heaven. I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. They said there's a place in heaven where people that are there can look into and see what's going on down here. Now, they don't do it all the time, but when there are major moments, like a person getting born again, like a person getting saved, like a person entering the ministry, like a person making a great achievement, they get another, I don't know if it's a text message, I don't know, or pay, I don't know what they get, but they like something big is happening, and they run to that home with all their friends and look into that and see what's going on. And then they turn around and tell their friends, and they all rejoice. We've been keeping them busy here lately. My God, can you imagine Apostle's dad? Remember, he had the vision that he was actually in heaven. What? They probably told him, just don't even leave the portal. Just stay here, because it's always, it's every day there's something going on with the apostle. He just stays there the whole time. And just say, I'm just staying here looking at my son. I want some of your relatives that are in glory already. I want them scurrying to that portal to look through and see. Oh, my goodness, the breakthroughs and the glory and the miracles and the manifestations that are coming into your life. All right. Revelation 21. What are we supposed to be bringing here? Heaven. Verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, they're always mirroring each other. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven say, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Glory to God. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. Look, and he will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. See, we got to get that right there out of our mind, like one day it's going to be that way. No, it's that way now in heaven, and we can bring that here. Tell somebody, I want some of that right here. I want some of that right here. And I'm going to have it. I have it now. Holy Spirit is my friend. He's helping me. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone of most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high. I'm just Revelation, so I got to put a little, you know, modulation to it, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon. Glory to God, you're trying to be dramatic, which had the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east were 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Glory to God. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof in the wall. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length of it is as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it were equal. Glory to God. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, and this that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stone. I read somebody said, there are no cinder block or brick walls in heaven. And there are no wallpaper. It's no wood. It's all stones. The first foundation, jasper. Second, sapphire. Chalcedony, emerald. Sardonyx, sardius. Chrysolite, beryl. Topaz, chrysoprase. Jacinth, and amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. My goodness, I could go on and on. I think I am. And one pearl. And every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as if it were transparent glass. Why, when we come back here to camp meeting headquarters, are they always adding something new? Why is there always something more glorious going on in this place or at the residence? Why? It is heaven busting its way. Heaven breaking the matrix and making its way into the earth. Been a long time since heaven had full expression on the earth, but it, through the hearts and the lives of God's people, heaven is making a comeback. Do you feel heaven? Can you hear heaven? I feel like busting loose. Busting loose. Oh, heaven. Give me the bridge, y'all. Give me the bridge, y'all. Heaven about to break loose in my life. Come on. Heaven about to break loose in my life. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I thought I had a seat in life, up in some upper nosebleed seat where I had to climb 7,000 steps to get up there, and looking at the men playing on the field like ants, the Holy Ghost said, "You're my friend. I got a better seat for you than way up there in the nosebleed with binoculars. I'm gonna put you in the luxury box with the owner." I don't think you understand. The Holy Ghost has put us in the luxury box with the owner, with God himself, with our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. It's what heaven looks like. It's rich. Abundance. All right, turn to Proverbs 22. I mean, not Lord Jesus, Revelation 22. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish right here. Last scripture. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody got their hands full when I get back to Columbus. I'm going to tell you right now. Something happened to me this week. Something happened. Revelation 22. You there? All right. 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Goodness. He is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's a Buckeye, let him be a Buckeye still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now watch, remember, Jesus is always in the red letters, all right? And remember, the Holy Spirit is always reminding us of what Jesus said.
Yes, sir.
That's one of his core duties. Listen to this. Red letters, Jesus, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. That means Jesus is coming quick. His reward is with him. That's in heaven. But we don't have to wait for heaven. We can bring heaven here if we sow like we're supposed to sow and give like we're supposed to give and obey like we're supposed to obey. And serve God as we're supposed to serve God. It's building up that reward over there. But we have the capacity to bring it here. To pray for God to take his will there and make it relevant here. I want you to never, ever, ever go through anything in life without looking at that flip side. Knowing there's a flip side to that coin. And because of that flip side, you got a friend in the Holy Spirit who will stir you to what your eternity is going to be like. And you start bringing that eternity over into here. You know, the way it'll happen is it just he start ministering to you. What does Psalm 37 verse 4 say? Delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart, right? So as you're walking with the Holy Spirit, you're friends now, right? First name basis. He calls me David. I call him Holy. What's up, Holy? Holy Ghost. And so as I'm walking through life, and then things start coming to me. Things I hadn't thought of before. But the desires God is starting to put or stir up back in my heart. I don't know why all of a sudden. I don't want to live in a subdivision. I want to live in a, I want 3 or 5 acres or something. It just, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know, but guess what? Guess what? The Holy Spirit, he just dropped on in there, man. Boom. And I turned to him, I said, is that you talking to me? You want me to have that? Are you talking to me? You want me to have something like that? Or here's a good one. What you talking about, Willis? You know what I said? What you talking about, Holy Spirit? You trying to put that on me? So I made up my mind. I got a mansion in heaven. I know I got a RV in heaven. I love diesel engines and things, so I'm going to have an RV. I love race cars. So I'm going to have race cars. I have motorcycles to race. I might have a track in my backyard. I'm going to have a marching band. Because I was a drum major, you know, a drum major. I love, these are things I love. And God has filled my eternity with the people and things that I love. And then I'm going to find out what's over there and then start bringing it back here with the help of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's my friend. Give it up. Come on. Friend. He is my friend. What's up? He's my friend. He's my friend.
Hey, man, if you're gonna clap, do better than that.